This is a recording of ISIS International from the Commission on the Status of Women, held in New York in March 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Thank you for coming to this workshop, and I'm really honored to be with these Korean women leaders who are working hard to mitigate the effect of climate change in Korea. And my paper will basically elaborate on some of the points that Dr. Jung-Soo Kim presented about climate change in Korean context. I hope you all have these papers. If you don't, I have some papers in the back. As Dr. Kim said, that Korea is pursuing a new model of development as it was facing the challenge of climate change. It is a very serious crisis for human race. But Korea decided that this was an opportunity for new kind of development, which is different from the industrial development of the past. Because this industrial development that started from like the 16th century in Europe and the process of modernization seems to have resulted in the destruction of environment and serious climate change problems. Because the westernization and modernization was based on this overuse of energy, based on coals, oils, and gases, which resulted in greenhouse effect, global warming. And we hear that in my paper, the second line from the bottom, 97% of the carbon dioxide emitted by Western industrialized countries comes from burning coal, oil, and gas for energy. And this carbon dioxide accounts for over 80% of global warming pollution. So this is a very serious issue that we have to reduce this emission by 60%, at least 60%. That's on my the second page of my paper. We need immediate reduction in carbon dioxide emission of at least 60% right now. And this was such a blessing for some countries because they were wondering whether they should just pursue the traditional model of economic development, burning more fossil fuels, coals, and gases and oils. But now they have to turn toward green technology, a different model of development. They have no choice. And because they were facing economic crisis last year and the year before, this, you know, forces us to seek for a new source of energy, new renewable energy. And that's what Korea is pursuing when it declared the year 2008 as the year one of low carbon green growth, the green development, green economic development for the Korean nation. I understand that different countries have a different approach to climate change because some countries are severely suffering from disasters, natural disasters, and some countries are suffering from over-industrialization, you know, much too fast industrialization for a very short time. So every country has different strategy, and in Korean case, it is the pursuit of new development model of the low carbon economic growth. So let's take a look at page, because Dr. Kim covered a lot of my arguments on how dangerous climate change is and why it has to be gender responsive and how we have discussed gender responsiveness in Manila, Beijing last year, and how international norm has been developing for the significance of gender responsiveness in climate change policies. I'm just gonna focus on this Korean situation on page 9.
You have extra copy?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, there are some extra. We have enough copies in the bag, I believe. Okay. So, on page 8,
one more.
create low carbon green growth and gender responsiveness. Okay, the Republic of Korea sees the crisis of climate change as an opportunity for a new paradigm of development for human race. So it declared 2008 as the original year, year one of low carbon green growth. And in November 2009, the Korean government announced the medium-term national greenhouse gas reduction goal of 30% of the emission under BAU, which is business as usual, by 2020. And now they're legislating a lot of laws concerning climate change, and the Basic Act for Low Carbon Green Growth will come into force in April this year, and tradable emission permit system will be implemented from 2012. To make it short, Korean approach is market-based one. What they're trying to do is they will pursue the model of economic development based on green energy, new renewable energy. They're going to pursue the development of technology that uses a totally different source of energy for development. So Korea has some competitiveness in its IT, NT, and BT technologies. So it's going to spend a lot of investment on research and development on new energy and new technology. And this energy will be so cheap and so easy to use and green without any carbon dioxide emission that it will benefit many developing countries as well, because many developing countries are caught in the vicious circle of underdevelopment because they have to pay so much for water and power after paying for energy, very little is left for development. But if we can find, if we develop this technology for new renewable energy, which is getting achieved to a considerable degree, it will help the growth of many developing nations in the Asia-Pacific region as well. Now, on page 9, the main purpose of low-carbon green growth is to pursue economic growth that minimizes its impact on climate change and then turn the crisis of climate change as engine of economic growth. So you can see that this approach is market-based. It focuses on technology to deal with climate change. So President Myung-bak Lee says that the low-carbon green growth, as Dr. Jong-Suk Kim explained, is sustainable development of reducing greenhouse gas and environment pollution, and a new paradigm of national development, which generates jobs and create new growth engine with green technology and clean energy. So it is pursuing this kind of development where they will achieve growth in terms of prosperity by using green energy and technology. It will develop low-carbon, environment-friendly infrastructure, and this will also enable the developing countries to catch up faster with the already developed countries as well, because there is this effect of the late starters to have this know-how of the early beginners and catch up fast. So in terms of green technology, it provides a lot of opportunity for the countries in the Asia-Pacific to pursue a different kind of economic development, a green development based on green energy and technology. So there are a lot of plans that Korea is pursuing, and it is going to change to knowledge-concentrated structure rather than manufacturing center structure, which consumes so much coal, fossil fuel, you know, oil and gas. It's going to focus on knowledge, technology, and solar energy. Green technology can create so many jobs. It can create 7 to 11 times more jobs for the next 25 or 30 years. You know, this investment into research, building facilities, and new renewable energy will create jobs for 100,000 people by 2012 in Korea. So if you look at page 11, you can see the targets for 2012. And there are many other policies as well. They're pursuing this very vigorously. is going to be called, it's going to build 1 million green homes using green technology. It's going to become the fourth largest green car manufacturing nation in the world. It's going to build bicycle roads and compact cities and carry out eco-living movement, and also will be the responsible member of international society. On page 11, you can see how the new renewable energy will be increased to 11% or above by 2012, and solar energy will increase from 0.3% now to 5% by 2012. So please refer to this table for all these nuclear energy facility expansions, green cars, and also the LED, the light emitting diodes lighting, which is green technology, will be extended from 1% now to 30% by 2012. And you know, they're going to increase automobile standard average fuel efficiency and hybrid cars, combined heat and power generation. So a lot of research and development is going to green technology. Now to gender responsiveness in Korean climate change policies. Now, Korean women's organizations have been very active, especially since the 1970s, when they focused their energy on expanding women's participation in politics. Because traditionally, Korean women were under Confucian norms, very submissive, obedient, you know, they're not supposed to go into politics or public fields. But women's organizations have carried out a lot of activities, and you see the great leaders of women's movements here, Dr. Yeon Suk Lee, who was the minister, and Dr. Chung Soo Kim, who led this women's political movement in Korea. So as a result of that, women's organizations have developed, and grassroots movement will have developed. And now they have responded to this crisis of climate change by, as you heard from Dr. Chung Soo Kim, this movement mainly to maybe support and implement the government policy of low carbon green roads. And this is a very desirable movement because you heard that how 10,000 women are involved. And this is a very important issue. So they're training a lot of grassroots women leaders about climate change, and they can go to local communities for awareness campaign, and they teach women to save energy. You know, when you have a hot thing, then cool it down and then put it in the refrigerator. Don't ride cars too frequently. I myself, you know, I've been lecturing about climate change for such a long time that I just take buses and public transportation now, and, you know, because I've been telling people, let's just use public transportation. And, you know, it's really good. You feel really good about contributing to climate change by not riding your own car and walking around riding bicycles. It's such a healthy lifestyle. We need a new lifestyle, green and simple. So these women leaders are teaching community women at the grassroots level that they need to reduce carbon dioxide emission by wisely using refrigerator, by you know, by their daily habits, like taking shower shortly and using public transportation and, you know, all kinds of things. So it's been, I think this is a very important issue, I think, for your countries as well. Now, women feel that this issue is important for women, and they can provide leadership. They can make change. Now, women leaders are trained at the grassroots level, and this can contribute to the empowerment of women. In women's political empowerment, this can train local community leaders, this can form networks among women, and then women can advance into the central politics, become ministers and prime minister, maybe president, why not? And this climate change issue has provided a very important turning point for women's movement in Korea. So here, 43% of all the greenhouse gas emission in Korea is from non-industrial sources. So women play very important role as agents of change. They can change lifestyle, more simple and green. And mothers can practice that and teach their children by showing how we can lead simpler and greener lifestyle than before. So this G Korea Council of Women has carried out this movement, 3G of getting job, green life, and giving hope. And it has been very important, but I would like to point out that it was really good that women's organizations were very supportive of government policy, and women are practicing this in their daily lives. But of course, it's more important for women's organizations to put pressure on the government for gender responsiveness and women's political representation in the issues of climate change. But unfortunately, Korean women are going through stagnation in women's political participation. We used to have rapid growth in the number of women parliamentarians. And we used to have a lot of women in the cabinet, women ministers, including Minister Yeon Suk Lee and Vice Minister Jung Suk Kim. But now we have very few women in the cabinet. You know why? Because the climate change policies of Korean government right now is so market-based, so technology-oriented that women feel alienated from these issues. They feel it's too difficult. And, you know, I would think this is very male-dominant climate change policy that's being pursued in Korea right now. So it is very important, as every, you know, other participants will say, by climate change. They suffer more. And they know more about the effect of climate change. So they should reflect their experience into the national, regional, and international decision making. So I think that Korean women's organizations should put more pressure on the government and the United Nations and international organizations to have more representatives, more women in national delegations, more women in the cabinet, because right now there's no woman who's handling climate change policies in the Korean government right now. We have the Minister of Gender Equality, but that's not majoring in climate change. So the Minister of Environment, I think that should be assigned to women leaders. So it is my concluding remarks on page 14, and this will be the end of my representation. We need to make the policies gender responsive. So number one, on page 15, we should legislate laws. They can make national policies responsive to gender responsive in the field of climate change. So the Climate Change and the Gender Responsiveness Act should be legislated. And the international organizations such as the Commission on the Status of Women should exert more influence on national governments to be more responsive, more gender responsive in their formulation and implementation of climate change policies. And number two is that the government should increase political commitment to make low carbon green growth policies gender responsive in Korea. And we want more money. I think money is crucial in women's movement. So in terms of budget, there is very little budget allocated to women, climate change, and gender responsiveness issues. So number three, we want more budget and more funding so that more women can be reached for a green lifestyle. Now, okay, my time is over. Number four, this is an important issue, so let me just say one sentence. Technology is very important. So more women should advance into the field of green technology, and young girls should be encouraged to get into this field. And when they develop all this new renewable energy, it should be women-friendly. We should check whether nuclear energy has no effect on women's reproductive functions. whether all this new technology does not have any bad effect on women, and whether women's needs for household needs, cleaning, washing, cleaning, and all the other needs are properly reflected in the development of new renewable energies. So we need a new development paradigm for the 21st century. Now the 20th century, industrialization, primarily led by fossil fuels by man, ended up destroying the environment and brought about climate change. Women are naturally for protecting and caring for life and nature, to restore the natural life, and to introduce a new paradigm of development based on new renewable energy. Women are the right actors to contribute to sustainable development. Now, women's nurturing and caring leadership will be an important resource for the success of 21st century low carbon green politics. Thank you for listening.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.